Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word.
It's good. Amen? Isn't that good? I love that. That's awesome stuff. So we got some fairweathers in the house. That's a good thing. Amen. It's good to do family. It's good to do life together. It's good to do this together. It's wonderful. This is one of the things that we have as the people of God is we have two ordinances. We have the Lord's table. Next week we'll have communion together. But baptism is something that belongs to us. It belongs to the family. It's something we get to do with each other. How many remember the song, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus"? Do you remember that? You know, we used to sing that. The person would go down, and as soon as they were coming out of the water, the piano player and the organist would hit it. "I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back." How many of that's the first time you've heard that song? No, really, first time you've heard that song, put your hand up really. That's pretty awesome. I love that. That's good. Then another verse is the cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. I'm just making a total transition. And then the next one is, though none go with me, still I will follow. It's something awesome about that. You know, that song, how many know songs have a history? Songs, that song has a history. And you know, that song was written by somebody because of a family in northeastern India in a tribe that were a pagan tribe, idol-worshipping tribe, who didn't want anything to do with God. A family, a father got saved, accepted Jesus, got saved. I mean, he got saved from the kingdom of darkness and his sins forgiven, and he walked into the kingdom of God and his life was touched and transformed. His whole family came to Jesus, but they're in this village where there's still a chief and all these things, and they were like, "We will not have a Christian in our village. We are a Hindu people. We will not have a Christian here." So it literally brought the whole family out in the main square. True story. Brought the whole family out in the main square, and they told him, you know, "Renounce Jesus, renounce, you know, that religion, renounce it, and, you know, say that you're going to become a Hindu or stay a Hindu and serve our Hindu traditions." And he said, "I have decided to follow Jesus." That's what he said. And they said, "If you don't, you know, renounce that, we're going to kill your children." He said, "I have decided to follow Jesus." And so they killed his children. And so he said, "We're going to kill your wife now. We're going to kill your wife. You've got to serve Jesus." He said, "You know, the cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. There's nothing. I've committed everything to the Lord." They killed his wife. Then they said, "You know what? Now we're going to kill you. You got to renounce it." And he said, "Though none go with me, still I will follow." And they killed him too. But you know, shortly after that, the whole impact, the guy's commitment, even to the place of losing everything and then losing his own life, that chief decided, he repented, he turned to Jesus, gave his life to Jesus, and that whole village ended up coming to the Lord. But that family gave their lives. And that's actually where that song comes from. And I was thinking of that because we used to sing that all the time whenever we did baptisms, you know. So there you go, a little history for you. Now, I'm going to talk about baptism. I've talked about baptism for probably a few years, so I want to talk to you about baptism. We give all our candidates a teaching and an outline and stuff that they listen to and they follow up with, but I want to talk to you about baptism. Because you know what? Baptism isn't about getting wet. Baptism is a dynamic, living, not just a principle, but it's a living truth that should be active in your life every day. And you should understand that I am a baptized believer. And you should know the power of baptism in your life. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. Matthew chapter 3, 13 to 17. If you have your iPhones, your iPads, your tablets, or whatever, please scroll there now. Or if you got the old-fashioned Bible, that's good too. I kind of miss the flapping of the Bible and the leaves and things and all that, don't you? Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, whoa, I reckon that the higher should baptize the lower. And I mean, you should be baptizing me. But Jesus said, he answered him and he said, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately out of the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. He didn't see a dove, they saw the Spirit of God. The only way I could explain it was like a dove. We saw something substantial that seemed to just flutter down, and it touched Jesus, and it entered him, and he was flooded and filled with it. All he could say is it looked like a dove came down, just rested on him, and was imparted to him. So it wasn't a dove. The Holy Spirit's not a dove. Tell your neighbor he's not a dove. All right. And he opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. And suddenly a voice from heaven came and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I really believe that what we're going to experience today is the same thing. There's going to be a miracle today where these folks, as they follow on and want to pursue Jesus, they're going to experience that open heaven experience where they'll feel the Spirit of God flood their life, and they'll feel the affection of their Heavenly Father saying, you are my daughter, you are my son, you are my child, and I am well pleased with you. Say, I'm well pleased. I mean, I like that. You know, did Jesus do a lick of ministry yet? Like, did he do a thing yet? Had he done a single thing for the Father as far as ministry went? Not at all. He hadn't done a thing, and yet on the outset of his ministry, before he did anything for the Father in ministry, the first words the Father said were, get out there and do something for yourself now. Get out there and make something yourself. Make me proud. No, that's not what he said. The heavens opened. He said, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. That's a really good way to start your ministry. That's a really good way to start serving Jesus, is to start it from the place of, I can't do anything to improve on his affection for me. I can't do anything right now to make him love me more. I can't do anything to be more pleasing to him, because he declared right at the outset, I am well pleased with you. Isn't that good? I tell you, no amount of striving can get more affection from the Father for you. He loves you. He's nuts about you. And he wants to tell you that right from the get-go. Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Jesus' ministry, when he wrapped it up, he said, high five, your turn. The Holy Spirit that flooded me is now going to fill you. And as I was sent, I'm going to send you. And he said, go now and disciple the nations. Make disciples of all nations. Go and reach a couple people. Go and tell a few people your testimony. Literally, it's disciple the nations. Go disciple the nations of the world. Bring the nations of the world into a living, vital relationship with a really good God. Disciple the nations in the love of your Heavenly Father. Disciple the nations. Tell them that God is back and he's nuts about them and he loves them. Tell the nations they got a good Father. Amen. So baptism is not a ritual to be performed, but it is a dynamic. It is a must. It's a dynamic that must be a present day and continuous reality in your life. So you should remember, I got wet one day. No, there's so much more that happens in baptism. Well, it's just people accept Jesus and then they get wet. And they do that publicly just because they want to tell everybody, you know, I was brought into the kingdom of God and something happened on the inside of my life. And I want to show you publicly through this dunking that I really want to follow Jesus. Well, it is that, but it's way more than that. There's something powerful that takes place when you go through the waters of baptism. Do you know that? Are you living that? Is that truth alive in your life today? How many here have been baptized in water at some point in your life? Wow, that's really good. You guys, your arms do work. That's awesome. So. That's great. Romans chapter 6, 2 to 3, and then verse 7. And since we have died to sin, how can you live in it any longer? Or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, say baptism, you were brought into, you were joined with Jesus Christ, you were brought into union with him at baptism. Since you died to sin, you can't live in it any longer. Now that's not a, you died to sin, so don't sin anymore. That's not what he's saying. He said, you died to sin. You don't continue in it anymore.
It's a whole different context or understanding because and if you are feeling like you're still a slave to sin, it's not because you are, it's because you probably forgot. What did you forget? That when you went through the waters of baptism, you completely identified with Christ. You died to sin. You were joined with Jesus Christ in baptism. We joined with him in his death. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Any baptized people here today? Anybody free from the power of sin today? So good. So good. You know, have you ever been to a funeral? You saw a person in the casket? You know, my mom, when she passed away, I went in to, you know, give them some pictures for the, you know, reception when people were coming to see my mom's life. And so I was waiting for them, and I just kind of walked around the corner in the room, and my mom was laying right there. And I went, they did the makeup really good, did everything. I was like, Mom. I was like, wow. But, you know, Mom was gone. It's like my dad always said, the nut's gone, but the shell's still there. You know, so. You know, my very first funeral that I did, I didn't know the people. I was only in town for a couple weeks and pastor of this church, and somebody called and said, a lady in the church's mother has died, you know, and so they need you to take the funeral. I've never done a funeral before, but seen my dad do a few and remembered my dad. He would start off the funeral by saying, we are not without hope. We know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The shell is here, but the nut's already gone. Hallelujah. So I thought that was good. But I forgot that he had a relationship with these people, had a long-standing thing, and I didn't know these people at all, and all I got were daggers. So I said, let us turn to the scriptures. But you know, a dead person can't sin. They're dead. A dead person can't even be tempted to sin. You could pull them up, prop them up, do whatever you want, but that dead person, they're free from the power of sin, they're free from temptation, they're free from it all, they're free from condemnation, they're totally done. You see, when you go through the waters of baptism, what's happening here is you're identifying with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. But in that death, what the Word of God says, in that death, when you died with Christ, you were set free from the power of sin. So that means you'll never sin again. No, that's not what it means. It means if you do sin again, which, let me let the cat out of the bag. You ready? You're probably gonna. Might even be successful today. But here's the thing. That, even that act that you do, the power of sin, you are totally free from. The enemy cannot come and accuse you. He cannot say, you dirty dog, you sin, because you are free from the power of sin. That's why the Apostle Paul went, now careful, because you're going to say to me, well, let's just get out there and sin then, so God's goodness can abound. Look at all the bad stuff I did, and God forgave me. No, you're free from the power of it, but being set free from the power of it allows you to live out the righteousness of God in Christ, because you're not just free from the power of sin. You got the life of God inside of you, and you know what? The what you want to do and you could never do suddenly starts to become a lifestyle, because you start following Jesus, and you start realizing that I don't have to shame and condemnation and fear anymore. I live my life operating out of the love and the goodness and the kindness of God. That was all right. Thank you, Pastor. The word baptize says to immerse, to bathe, to submerge, to pickle. Say pickle. To overwhelm, to produce a permanent change. Now, the word baptize, it's actually a Greek word. And so we left the Greek word as a Greek word. Like if I wanted to say, you know, look at that picture. I use the word look. If I wanted to use the Greek, I'd say blepo. But we changed blepo because you don't know what blepo is. So we changed it to look. Look at the picture. But you know, baptize is a Greek word and we left it as baptize. But baptize really means to fully submerge, to fully immerse, or to pickle. So some people, you got to hold down a little bit longer. Yeah. But it's not about just getting wet. It's an identification and a union with Christ that results in genuine change. You know, I can't get closer to God than I am right now. And sometimes I know a lot of our songs and stuff, and I know we sing stuff. I just want to get closer to you. And he's up there going, we're about as tight as we can get, you know. And we really are. When you're brought in union with him, here's what the word says. He who is joined with the Lord is one spirit with him. And you know what? You can't change that. It's not like you're one spirit and then, oh, I got careless for a while and now I'm far away. You never really get far away. In fact, the Word of God says, even it says, if you're an enemy of God, you're an enemy in your mind, because you were never an enemy of God. God has always loved you. He's always been nuts about you. All of creation is God on a hot pursuit for mankind. He loves you and he's nuts about you. But sometimes we think we're far from God in our mind, and we reinforce it with songs like, oh, I just want to get closer. So I'm reinforcing in my mind that I must be far away. How did I get far away? What's wrong with me? Did he turn from me? Maybe he didn't like something I did. Is he, you know what? You're in absolute union with Christ. And this baptism was a representation that you are now totally identifying yourself with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. You died with him, you're buried with him, and you're raised with him. He's never going to let you down. He is good. He'll never relax his grip on you, and nothing can separate you from his love, not even you. Because you know, when you're not faithful, he says, I'm still faithful. It's incredible how good this is. Sadly, the church, though, sometimes I think they think the good news is too good to believe, so they turn it into, well, there's got to be some performance on our part, right? It is faith alone, so that no one can boast. It's not by works, but it's by faith alone. Now, that faith should produce works, but the works that get produced, they have to be from God, not from you. Because he just wants the empty site. He doesn't want you doing stuff. He wants to now live and move in and through you. And he wants to bring about his perfect will for your life. And it's all about him. And baptism is all about that union with him. Baptized. There's a story about a guy named William B. Parker. Actually, was a church historian. And then there was a machinist who worked for Ford Motor Company in Detroit. And this was early in the 1900s. And a guy came to a service. He accepted Jesus, got baptized right away. The next day, when he went back to work, he came back with a whole chest of tools and car parts. And he went to his foreman and he said, you know, I accepted Jesus yesterday. I got baptized in water. And as I was laying there going to bed, I was thinking, I can't go on being a believer and have all these stolen tools from Ford Motor Company in my house. And so I'm just going to take them back tomorrow. He took them back, went to his foreman, said, here's all the stuff I stole from Ford Motor Company. I really just want you to forgive me. I'm so, so sorry. I don't know why I did that, but I've been set free and I love Jesus. And so I'm bringing all this stuff back to Ford Motor Company. So the foreman was like, that's amazing. Now, Henry Ford was in Europe setting up a car factory in Europe. When he was there, they sent him over a telegram and said, hey, you won't believe it, but some guy who was ripping off tools, he gave his life to Jesus. He said he got baptized. His heart was totally changed. He's brought all these tools and car parts back. And here's what Henry Ford, here's what he sent back. He sent this back. I think it's up on the screen. There it is. Here's what Henry Ford said. He said, dam up the Detroit River and baptize the entire city. Isn't that good? Man, we should dam up the Thames River and just baptize the whole city. Let's get her done, you know? So I just thought that was, I just thought that was good, didn't you? Good stuff. Come on, that was funny, eh? You know, even if you're, you know, lack a funny bone, just laugh anyways. All right, Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, repent and let every one of you be baptized. Every one of you, are you all here today? Every one of you be baptized. Repent, what's repent mean? Repent means, here's some really good news. God loves you. He's always loved you. He's nuts about you. All the brokenness in your life and stuff like that, not a part of his plan. But he wants to restore you to himself. He sent his son. He died for your sin. He's forgiven you your sin. He wants you to accept that. He wants you to embrace him. So that's repentance, all right? So you go, wow. Because repentance literally means to change your mind. Change your mind from what? I'm a loser. I'm hopeless. I got a dead-end life. What am I doing? I can't believe I feel so miserable. I feel so accused. I just, life stinks. And then all of a sudden, God loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. In fact, the things that you think separate you from God, he took care of. He dealt with. Believe the good news. And come to him. Identify with him. Be baptized, every one of you. And in the name of Jesus Christ. There's some people who think you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So if you're not baptized, there's some movements to say if you're not baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, they're not even sure you're going to heaven. And yet it said it commanded them to go and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus Christ. Well, this whole phrase, Jesus Christ, whenever it's used, they're literally saying with the authority of Jesus Christ, the authority of his command that he has given us, in the name of Jesus Christ, we compel you, be baptized. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Your sins are blotted out. You are forgiven. You are totally set free. Embrace that good news. Honor the Lord. Follow him in the waters of baptism. 1 Peter 3, verse 21, in the Message, it says, the waters of baptism do that for you, not by washing dirt from your skin, but by presenting you through Jesus' resurrection before God with a clear conscience. See, that's the one thing that we need. We need something that literally touches our heart, something that comes and removes from us that self-accusation, that fear, that frustration of knowing you couldn't do it and you're not quite right. See, baptism applies that wonderful, precious blood of Jesus where you get totally set free and you experience the resurrection of Christ and you walk in fullness of life with him. So it's not just getting wet or having a bath. All right, five imperatives of water baptism. I'm going to give them to you really quick. Number one, it's a call to follow Jesus. These folks are all up here going, man, there's more. I want to do it. I want to follow Jesus. I want to totally commit my life to him. And that's a good thing. Sounds scary, doesn't it? When I hear a young teenage girl say, I want Jesus to be in control of my life. I don't know about you, but that always kind of scares me a little bit. Control is a crazy thing in my world because control is a big deal. Who's in charge here? And it's somebody saying, I want Jesus to be in charge of my life. I love him so much, I trust him so much, that I'm literally willing to say, you know what? Jesus, take the wheel, take it from me. You literally are saying, I trust that if I follow you, if I honor you, and if I seek you first in all things, that you know what? My life's going to be awesome. Because everything I've experienced from you so far is good. And so if you say it's going to get gooder, I'm in. I'm in. You know, so it's so good. It's a wonderful thing to be able to give yourself to somebody who's revealed himself as good. It's never going to let you go. Loves you, loves you, loves you. So that's number one. It's real easy. It's just following Jesus. Like Jesus did it. Jesus got baptized. Jesus said we got to fulfill all righteousness. So look, I need to get baptized. Jesus went through that whole process as well. So we got to follow Jesus to fulfill all righteousness. So that's number one. And number two is there's a promise for receiving the Holy Spirit. It says, and be baptized and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So are you saying I can't be baptized in the Spirit until I'm baptized in water? No, I'm not saying that because we know many people have been baptized in the Spirit before they were baptized in water. But you see, in this progression of being born again, where the Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ, and then where a disciple baptizes you into identification and union with Christ, and then there's Jesus who baptizes you in the Spirit of God. So all those things, I just really tell you that all three of those things are absolutely essential for you to be a fully initialized believer. I really do. I don't think you should say, well, what's the least I can get away with and still be a believer? He says, repent and be baptized, everyone in you, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know what? Come to him, accept him as your Lord and Savior, get baptized in water, and get whacked. When I say whacked, I mean full of the Holy Ghost. Let Jesus baptize you, pickle you, smear you in the Holy Ghost. It would be a terrible thing to not fully initialize people. You know what I mean? It's like sending people on the front line and saying, well, we're not going to give you a gun yet, but attack that mountain. You need everything. You need to be fully equipped. You need the whole package. Believers should be fully engaged and fully initialized. All right, so come on, open your heart. It opens your heart to that process of where you move on to receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It's number three, it's a call to identify with Christ. That's what we talked about here, the set free from the power of sin and totally identified with him. You know, this was the Apostle Paul, and apparently one of the thieves near Jesus on one side or the other, one of them was Paul's father because he said the old man was crucified with Christ. So let me back that one up. Paul, who wrote this, there were three people crucified, Jesus and two thieves on either side. And so one of those thieves had to be Paul's dad because Paul said the old man was crucified with Christ. Wow. All right, I am just kidding, but thank you for that. I appreciate it. I got a crouching ovation from somebody in the back there. Your old man. You know, I had somebody sent me an article to read this week, and they were, you know, looking to submit it for a magazine, and they talked about the struggle with the sin nature and the new nature and how, you know, and all this, and I just went, I'm not one of these people who always wants to correct people, but I cannot take it when people think that you're battling with two people in here. There's only one person in here. It's just me. And you know what? The old man, all things have become new. Every single thing has become new. I'm not still walking and carrying around some dead lump of flesh. I'm not still every day still battling, oh, I wish I could be free from this. There's some people, like, they're always battling, you know, like, I wish I could get rid of this old man. He keeps on leading me the wrong way. The old man was crucified with Christ, who has died, and he has freed us from sin. Now, John chapter 13, 14 to 17, real interesting stuff. This is when they came into the promised land, right? And it says that the river that they crossed there, the Jordan River, it says that it backed up. But in this situation, it didn't kind of split like the Red Sea. It wasn't like, you know, piled up on both sides and they walked over. It says the waters backed up. And it says that they backed up all the way to a little town called Adam. Isn't that interesting? I don't think there's any words wasted in the Bible. And I think when you move into the promised land and you move into the fullness of God, what happens is you completely identify with the Spirit of God and you cross over and the waters are parted all the way back to Adam. What does that mean? Do you believe in generational curses, Pastor? Yes, I do. But I also believe that you don't have to walk in a single one of them anymore, because the waters in your experience have been parted all the way back to Adam. Through every single generation, when the waters parted, when you were identified with Jesus Christ, you were set free once and for all from every filthy thing that could have a claim on your life. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. So you know what? If you find that there's something that runs in your family, apply the scripture to it and say, whoa! I've been set free. And find the passage in Peter where it says, I've been set free from everything handed down to me from my forefathers. Everything. Anything that's in my bloodline, you want to say enough, because you now been identified with Christ. You now are a child of the Most High God. Your whole bloodline, your whole inheritance is totally shifted. You're not inheriting brokenness and pain and disease, and you're inheriting life and power and resurrection. All the way back to Adam, there's a complete identification with Christ. I have now been fully identified with him. I am a brand new person. And there are no claims on me from any generational issue or anything in this world. I have been completely, fully redeemed all the way through every generation. I am free. Can I get an amen? Yes. Number four. I'm doing pretty good. My goodness. A circumcision to be performed. There's a circumcision to be performed. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not sure how God came up with circumcision. Like, you'd think God in all of his wisdom sitting there, you know, God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, you know, want to give them a sign that we're going to fulfill our promise in their lives. What about a nick in the earlobe? No. How about they shave a piece of their eyebrow? Then, no. How about that foreskin? I'm not trying to be weird or rude or anything, but what's the deal with that? But you know, there was an issue where it said that this identification with the promise, the flesh, was peeled away. Now, I don't have time to go through it all, but you should read those scriptures, because it says Jesus himself comes at baptism. Jesus himself comes. And in this tub today, there's seven people going to be circumcised. Now, if we still practice that today, we'd have a lot more women in the church and a lot less guys. Especially if you had to do it as adults. Anyways. So, Jesus comes, though, and it says it's a circumcision of the heart. There's a circumcision. It literally says your sin nature, your old nature, is taken away. So I don't know how people read their Bibles and still think they're battling a sin nature, when the Bible says when you were baptized in water, Jesus came and he peeled away and he removed from you every bit of self-righteousness. He removed from you the old nature and every slant and bent that had an attitude towards God and self-performance and self-righteousness. It all got peeled away and it all got ripped back. Now, here's a great thing about circumcision. Circumcision opens you up to the promise of God, because nothing of any value in eternity or the kingdom has anything to do with you. It all has to do with him. So you go to Genesis chapter 17, and you'll see that I've got it right here. I think I've got it somewhere in my notes. I got the notes on the website. You could go look at them right now. But Genesis chapter 17, 11, and then 21. He says, he comes to Abraham and he says, I'm God, your great reward, your great promise. And Abraham's like I'm 99 years old and I still don't have that son you promised. So like, where's the beef? You know, and God says, I'm telling you, I'm going to come back in a year from now and you're going to have a son. And he said, in fact, I'm going to get you to change your name from Abram and your name from Sarah. And I'm going to add the fifth letter of the alphabet. I'm going to breathe grace into your whole experience. And here's the sign that I want. The sign that I want is you're going to circumcise yourself. You're going to remove that foreskin as a sign that I'm going to fulfill my promise with you. So me and Abraham had to change his name. And then at 99 years old, he had to get circumcised. Wow. And so he did that. So, I mean, he went ahead and he did that. He said, but my covenant will be confirmed with you with Isaac. Because Sarah laughs. Sarah's in the tent listening to Abraham talk to God. Says, this time next year, you're going to have a child. And Sarah went, and he, I heard that. He said, I'm going to come back in a year and you're going to have a child. And his name's going to be Laughter. You're going to call him Laughter. And that's what Isaac means, laughter. Ha, ha, ha. But you're going to have to change your names. I'm going to breathe grace into your experience, because it's not by might or by power, but by my spirit. And then I want you, Abraham, I want you to remove that foreskin as a sign that I'm going to do it. So now Abraham, not trying to be rude, might be rated 14A, I don't know. But Abraham then had to do something at 99 that might have seemed a bit difficult, but he did it. Please, the blood of Jesus, with a new instrument, in a whole different way, because now it was happening without a foreskin. So why am I saying all that? I'm saying all that because for you to bring forth the promise of God in your life, it can't be with the old man. It can't be with the flesh. It can't be with any human involvement whatsoever. If I'm going to manifest my promise and my purposes in your life, everything that I do in your life, it's going to be a miracle. And you see, that's what this is. This is saying that I choose to pursue God, to follow after him, and I want my life to now go from supernatural, miraculous event to miraculous event, and I trust my future to him, that he is the cause of every effect, and I want him to bring into manifestation in my life all of his promises, and I refuse to depend on my flesh or my human activity. I'm going to completely have a full circumcision of all of my self-righteousness and not repent in me towards doing it myself, and I totally surrender and yield to God is everything in my life. And when you're willing to do that, when you go through that process, you will, even if some situation in your life seems dead and seems impossible, God can bring it into manifestation. That was good. I know some of you are kind of awkward and thought that was awkward. It's okay. Number five is freedom. There's a freedom to be appropriated. We're going really quick. I got a couple minutes. That's all I got. All right, so we got a freedom to be appropriated. 1 Corinthians 10, 1-2 says, moreover, brethren, I want you to be aware, not unaware, that all of our fathers were baptized into the cloud. All of us passed through the sea. We were all baptized in the Moses, in the cloud, in the sea. Now, in Exodus chapter 14, you'll see that they came out of captivity. And when they came out of captivity, it's a very interesting story, because here's where they were. This was captivity, and this was the promised land, all right? They were like just about there. And then God said, stop. And they went, what? He said, I want you to go over here. And he turned them back, and then he put them right between two rocks and the Red Sea. So you had to go, these are really bad directions that Moses has. We were almost where God wanted us to be, and he's turned us around. He put us between two mountain ranges and a sea, and then all of a sudden they turn around, and here's the whole Egyptian army coming, and Pharaoh coming, a representation of the devil and all of his works. The devil don't want you to be free, so he's coming back after you. He's saying, you got confused, you don't know what you're doing, you haven't entered in yet, I'm going to put you back into captivity, and he wants to drag them back into bondage. But God put them there on purpose. God turned them around and put them there on purpose. But here's Moses. I'm a new leader of these people. I told them I got a relationship with you. And now I took them into this mess. What is your problem up there? And God said, stop whining and complaining. Go forward. So he said, go forward. He says, yeah, use that staff. Smack the water. Boom. He smacks the water. Woof. The Red Sea is wide open. They start running across. So they're going across on dry ground. But sure enough, Pharaoh gets there and he says, wow, this is pretty interesting. Anyways, I think I can still catch them. So he pursues them through the Red Sea. Can you see it? Are you excited? So there's chariots. There's smoke. There's stuff. There's screaming. There's, come on, baby. Hey. But they all get up on the other side. They're all up, out through and over the Red Sea. And they can still see Pharaoh coming after them. And then he says, Moses, command the waters. And the waters, every single one of their enemies was destroyed before their very eyes to never be seen again. You might come up here and say, I'm between a rock and a hard place. Oh my goodness, what am I going to do? You go down through this tank, and when you go into that water, you identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every single enemy of your soul, you can come up and go like, gone. I have freedom from bondage, freedom from accusation, freedom from oppression. Jesus caused us an exodus, and he brought freedom to your life. All right, I got to stop right there, okay? So I'm going to stop right there, but that's pretty good, right? Huh? And you know what? Some of you want to get baptized all over again because all you did was get wet. But you know what? If you did get wet and you did it without knowledge, apply the knowledge today to what you did and say, I reenlist and I apply now all of this truth. I might have done it in ignorance, but now that I got some more revelation, I am a baptized believer. Woo! Because it's not about getting wet. It's a powerful release, an identification with him, a liberty and a freedom which happens. And Jesus is performing a miracle at Impact Church today in 7 lives. How awesome is that? And if you're in any kind of bondage or anything or entrapped in any way, you don't need a seminar or a deliverance session. You just need to say to the devil, I'm a baptized believer. I went through the tank. You got no claims on me anymore. I'm totally free. Back off, Jack, because I know who I am. And you can walk in freedom. That's what baptism is all about.